Digital Radio 103 is available in 196 countries, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Visit us online at www.digital-radio103.com. You're listening to Digital Radio 103, providing diversity and entertainment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Visit us online at www.digital-radio103.com. The following show comes to you via Digital Radio 103. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual presenters and guests do not necessarily reflect those of this station, the station's network, any other affiliates under this network, or our sponsors.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Blurred Line. I am your host, Sue Shensky, and I am flying solo tonight. John Curley couldn't make it. I'm sure he's really missing it because he really wanted to be here tonight. He's really interested in our guest this evening, Tim Smith from Pennhurst Paranormal. Tim, how are you?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing good. This has been a long time coming. We've been planning this off and on for a couple months.
Nothing's ever easy, is it?
No. I'm glad we could finally connect and glad to have you on the show tonight.
I'm glad to be here.
Good. And everyone, I think everyone knows about Pennhurst. I mean, everybody that's watched paranormal shows on television, everyone's well aware of Pennhurst. Pennhurst has been featured on a number of those shows. And I kind of wanted to, I guess, talk a little bit about you first and what interested you in the paranormal, first of all, and also what brought you to Pennhurst.
Well, what brought me to Pennhurst was just blind luck, you know, with some of the owners at the time together, you know, just my association with them. And then, you know, I kind of was helping out in a managerial position there with some of the stuff, you know, overseeing the property a little bit. And then what ended up happening is that I didn't believe in the paranormal at all. And a couple of friends of mine from my area, you know, kind of begged if they could get on the property. And I'm like, okay, sure, sounds good, we'll take you out. I said, but you got to take my brother out with you because he believes in all that stuff. And when he got a couple of things that he couldn't explain, then I hung out and did a couple of nights with some people. And then on the third floor of Mayflower, I was touched and something whispered in my ear. And ever since then, I've, you know, been trying to find out more.
Kind of got the bug.
Big time.
Wow, that's really awesome. And I love the Mayflower building. We were there with you, September of this past year, and had a lot of amazing experiences there. Can you tell us a little bit, for those that maybe don't know, which I find surprising, but don't know, well, we are international, so it is a possibility. People that may not know about Pennhurst, a little bit about the history?
Sure. Well, you know, the history is very sad and, you know, tragic. It started in 1908 when they started opening up, and it was really meant to house people and take care of them with people that couldn't help the children themselves. And, you know, the bad thing was that it was almost outdated and overgrown from day one. They couldn't build the buildings fast enough at one point. And the Mayflower building wasn't built until the 20s. So, you know, and that was one of the last buildings built until Devon was built in the 50s. And, you know, it just was, with the overcrowding became really just neglect. And then, of course, abuse set in, you know, whether it be patient on patient or, you know, some form of worker on patient. And it just came to a boil in the 50s and then into the 60s until Bill Baldini broke a story called Suffer the Little Children, mm-hmm. showing just how, you know, how much neglect and abuse was happening. And when that broke, you know, people saw it for what it was, and the fact that the average animal at the Philadelphia Zoo was given more money than the average human at Pennhurst. Mm. And once that happened, it took almost another 10 years, or basically another 10 years, for the court case to be heard. And then almost another 10 years, I think it was actually 9, for the closing of Pennhurst to happen. So it took still 20 years after that. And, you know, this was a major, major court case for people with disabilities. I mean, this was, you know, this is what changed patients' rights and deinstitutionalization in America for people with disabilities.
Yeah.
And you can see the ramifications all the way into our schools today, where you can see mainstreaming special ed kids. And, you know, think about these ADHDs and autism, which is a fairly new situation, probably not new, but at least a new diagnosis. You know, all these people would be in Pennhurst today.
Definitely. And there were just so many things that happened there that I remember seeing. I don't necessarily think that I saw that piece that Bill Baldini did when it came out. I think I was a little bit too young for my parents to even let me see it, because I wouldn't have understood. understood. But I do definitely remember seeing it later, and it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, to be able to sit through it in one sitting, you almost got to have no heart.
Right.
It's just, I mean, I had a breakdown and halfway through it, it's just so sad. And, you know, what this place means to people, you see it, because it is literally a hotbed for debate, you know, and that's a nice way to put it, you know, with people. And, you know, and you gotta be patient and see both sides, you know, or I've had to be patient and see both sides, because, you know, people want to look at, you know, a lot of people there, you know, as, you know, doing wrong and things like that. And I just hope that, you know, down the road they realize, you know, that we are trying to move forward and, sure, and do the best for the property and trying to make good on it the best we can.
Absolutely.
And we have been, and part of it's opening the buildings up the way we have, and hopefully we'll be able to open up more for historical tours down the road. And really, that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
More than anything else, historical tours. I mean, I love the paranormal. The haunted house is what it is too. But the historical tours is really, you know, I won't be happy until I get there.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful campus.
It is.
Just the buildings and the craftsmanship that it took to design and build them. I mean, and they're still standing. I mean, well, I guess some are in various states of disarray, just because disrepair, just because time has a way of doing that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the biggest, you know, the roofs might collapse and things like that, but these buildings are going to stand. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just amazing the way they were built. You know, it's terracotta, the bricks, you know, it's just unbelievable that you're right, the craftsmanship. I mean, you saw the Mayflower building, you probably saw a little bit of drop ceiling, rebar or whatever, but it's like, but the reality was, is that you take all that stuff down and you see how high those ceilings are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it's absurd by today's standards.
Oh my gosh.
Those are huge. And the buildings were meant to be wide open for the patients. It was supposed to be that kind of therapy, where it was supposed to be a peaceful environment.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, even like in Mayflower, you know, I can see where all the housing was supposed to be. And then you kind of see how the housing drifted into areas that should have been like a more of a common room.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's amazing. You know, you see where one bed should have been, and now there was four. If you see the pictures, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just, you know, the neglect, the you know, if you watch the piece, like you said, you know, you see the abuse that took place with even the head administrator there, where he would abuse people and put people in the bad situations just as a punishment.
Yeah.
It's just, it's sickening, as a matter of fact.
It is. And I do want to put it out there that I'm sure that not everyone that worked there, you know, abused the patients. And I'm sure a lot of people really tried to take care of them. It's just, the floodgates opened, I guess, at one point. I mean, were people just dumping people there?
Yeah. And I'm glad you bring that up, because I have some friends there that worked there. And one particular worker, and she met her husband there, Devin. And, you know, they take, you know, great exception, as they should, you know, because they were really solid workers. They tried their best, and they were almost angelic in their way. You know, it's not fair. You know, I got my kids off to daycare a few years back, and it's 1 to 4 workers. Well, you're not 1 to 25 like you were in this place.
Right.
And, you know, and that's what's crazy. I mean, how can they do it? You almost had to go to the higher functioning patients to help out, and bathing people, which that was happening, and things like that too. You know, so there were a lot of extreme circumstances. You know, these people tried hard, but, you know, there's a level of frustration. There's, you know, who knows what you were dealing with, whether they were more violent or physical. Mm-hmm. You know, how can you handle that? You know, it's just, there are so many different circumstances, and certainly not all of all the people that worked there were abusers, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that is not the case.
Yeah, I think people have a tendency to focus on the negative so much because it was so dramatic. They forget that, you know, there were good people working there.
And there was just as much probably patient-on-patient abuses that were happening. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, people hiding under their beds. I mean, these are well-documented things. You know, so, you know, where, you know, once the lights went out, it was a whole different kind of hell.
Yeah.
You know, and who's to say who that was? It's just, you know, it's, but that comes from neglect and not being able to watch over them too.
Yeah.
So the state is really what failed here. It wasn't the workers here. Mm-hmm. It was the state that failed and the system. And this wasn't just Pennsylvania, this wasn't just Penrith, this wasn't just Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. this wasn't just the East Coast, this was rampant across the country.
Yeah.
Now, this was a system that was based all the way across the country, and that's why it was such an important case. You know, Byberry was shut down because of it. Peralta got famous because of watching Bill Baldini's report and did the same thing. This was going on all over the place because people were falling asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't care. You drop your kids off, they never looked back. And in fact, the parents were told not to look back. They said, you know, showing up here would only hurt their therapy, you know, at times. This is what some of the medical profession said, because they believed it at the time. I mean, think about this. Mm-hmm. So there was no parent to come in there on Thanksgiving or Christmas to know that their kid is missing some teeth or a black eye or a new bruise. You know, it's sad.
Yeah. It is sad, and you know, when we went into the Mayflower building, there were portions where you could almost touch it, the sadness. I mean, it was just overwhelming, I think. And I think going down into the basement, into the playroom there, seeing all the toys just scattered around and thinking this was where someone spent a lot of their time. It was pretty sad.
Yeah, and you know, some of the stuff was there, you know, this is where they spent their time, and there's certainly these rooms were meant to be better. I mean, some of the stuff around there creeps me out, and you just like wonder why it would be down there to begin with. But it just, you know, you could feel it. There are times in, you know, certain parts of the Mayflower building especially where you can feel how thick, you know, the drama is almost, because mm-hmm. you're just like, there's something here that you can't touch really, but it's there, and you're feeling it. And, you know, sometimes you get a really good recording those times. Sometimes it's just, you just can hear feeling that you just got to leave.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot of times on the second floor for me, third floor, and now really the basement has kind of come alive all on its own too, so.
Yeah, I know when we were in the basement, we got some really interesting EVPs that I'll be playing a little bit later. some different males, adult males. It was, I don't know if it was the king.
Well, he seems to run the place down there. So, and if it's a nasty male, it most likely would be him.
Yeah, so. He was telling us to get out of there.
And then it's probably the king.
Yeah.
So, he wasn't happy with you.
Probably not. Well, I hate to even bring it up, but, you know, just a little bit of the history. I know that there were points where people had teeth pulled. Which building was that? I don't know which building that was in.
You know, the teeth pulling situation, you know, comes back, you know, and there were some historically documented pieces, and obviously, you know, it's one that people want to cling to. Mm. The reality of it is that there's a lot of misconceptions of where it really happened, or no one seems to have full clarity of it.
Mm.
Okay. You know, there were medical facilities on that in Wilson, and then there's also a second campus. Now I'm being told, and this will show, you know, God forbid there's somebody online that's going to yell at me because their history is better than mine. But the reality of it is that the one true dental chair that they showed on Ghost Adventures with Conroy is actually on the upper campus or the female campus near the Veterans Hospital.
Okay.
Now that's not to say that there weren't dental chairs and medical equipment around. And then there are some places on the property that, you know, like Ghost Hunters and stuff like that, that are more like barber chairs. And there were barber chairs in, and there still are,
mm-hmm.
in Limerick, Limerick building. So, you know, the question mark is where the true dental chair is. But if you did something more than twice, you know, it became a problem and they would take your teeth out. That's what people said. And if that's the case, I guess it could have happened anywhere in Wilson, which is, you know, crumbling down at this point, but or the other campus.
How many buildings are there? I mean, it's enormous.
You know, the thing is, it depends on how you would phrase it and where it was, what time or year you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell you on the main campus that we're on, it's roughly 17, you know, and I don't know that I'm including the power plant on that one, you know, but then there are also buildings like Wilson that, you know, attach together, but there's Wilson 1 and 2, and then there's even dietaries, you know, Franklin and Noble and things like that. There are buildings with multiple names, or I would consider them just one building, but a true purist probably would not, you know. So it depends on who you're really talking to and what definition, but I would say roughly 17, you know, as far as the campus is now.
And it's about, I think I read 120 acres, and then I guess, well, whenever it's, then.
Yeah, the property that Pennhurst Asylum rests on is roughly, I think it's actually 117, but I think we all round up for 120. So, but I think it's technically 117.
That's enormous. And I know, I mean, and they were completely self-sufficient, weren't they?
They were. You know, you have railway lines coming in. They had their own power plant. They had their own working farms. You had built-in labor for a lot of the time until it became, you know, a legal issue. You know, so you have these people that were making things and selling things, and you know, there was tenors dollars, so there was some kind of credit that you would get, you know, like monetary credit. You know, so there is. It was a self-sufficient city, and being you know, there's a golf course, and your average golf course is about 120 acres probably too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly over 100. You know, there's one right next to it that was on the Penner's campus. You got the Veterans Hospital. So, you know, think about how many acres truly the place was on, you know, when it was fully functional.
Yeah, I mean, and that area is not necessarily built up as it is. I mean, it's a suburb of Philadelphia, so it has been, I guess, suburbanized somewhat, but it's still pretty rural.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I mean, things can happen that, you know, and no one would know.
Right.
I mean, and that's not to say anything. It's just, you know, it's like it's some bad horror movie. It's almost like those things you hear about Disneyland. Things could happen there and they would hide it. It's like, you could do anything you probably wanted to there, and you know, you probably get away with it.
Well, it's funny because I actually used to live probably about 10 minutes away from there, and I never realized. I'd driven by there, I don't even know how many times, and didn't really know that it was there. I mean, I knew about Pennhurst, but I don't know, maybe I just had my head in the ground, but when we went to go and investigate, I drove around for 45 minutes. Trying to figure out how to get there. And my GPS.
it's not an easy place. GPS doesn't want to give you good directions there, and you know, it's still meant to be hidden, I think.
Which is probably a good thing for people, but I'm sure the local kids find a way in.
Oh yeah, you could go go on just about any type of social media, and as long as they let you in, you know, you could probably find out secret passages to get to just about anywhere inside.
Yeah.
You know, I would imagine it's getting tougher to get into all the buildings that they want because of, the lockdown and trying to take care of the buildings has been the priority. And, a little at a time it's happening. So I'm sure it's gotten a little harder. It's certainly not impossible for the ones that truly know the campus very well. And there's quite a few of those.
Yeah, and I just want to put it out there that I'm not a
respectful.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said I just wanted to put it out there that I'm not advocating that. That it's dangerous.
No, most of them are, to be honest with you, most of them have grown up a little bit and they're a lot more respectful than they used to be. And we don't like people coming in there and trashing it. I know when I'm on the campus, I'm not alone. And I'm not talking about spirits either.
Sure.
I don't want to have to, people shouldn't have to fear for their life there, and people shouldn't have to worry about whether they're smashing the place up. And a lot less of that is happening, which is good.
That's good.
Take your pictures and go, and hang out, you don't have to smash up the place and steal every little thing in the place either.
Yeah, go have your scare.
Exactly. I went for it too. Yeah. So,
it doesn't take long.
No, it doesn't.
I think we were there for about not even 5 minutes. We were walking through with you and things were happening. I thought, wow, this is awesome.
It's unbelievable. It just doesn't take long to get into that building. And the welcoming committee is there, and that's what we call it. They're literally waiting at the door for you to open it. And then they also show you the door on the way out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pushing, they welcome you to some extent, and they're pushing you on the way out.
I often wonder if they have been, there have been so many people through there that they kind of enjoy the show.
I think at times they probably do, but just like humans, they have bad days.
Yeah.
And, and they get grumpy, and, you got 5,000 people coming through on a Halloween night, they don't like it, if they're having a bad day.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a good spot to take a break, and then I'd like to come back and talk a little bit about some experiences that you've had, and you had sent me over some recordings that I'd like to play for everyone, and then we'll take it from there.
Great.
All right.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back, everybody. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Digital Radio 103, providing diversity and entertainment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Visit us online at www.digital-radio103.com. Did you know that you can now listen to Digital Radio 103 on your iPhone, iPad, BlackBerry, Android phone, and tablet? Visit our website at www.digital-radio103.com for more information. Digital Radio 103 is available in 196 countries, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Visit us online at www.digital-radio103.com.
Come down and enjoy the friendly atmosphere at the most popular meeting place, the Savoy Coffee Lounge in the Bridge Street Mall, Ballarat. Open Mondays to Saturdays. Great coffee, fantastic food, and our breakfasts are to die for.
We came out and there were these two chickens fighting, and the fatter chick said to the skinnier chick, "Oi, bro, you slipped into my peri-peri, eh?" And the other one said, "Nah, man, I didn't for s***, eh?" And the other one goes, "I will call on my fully sick chicks." Then they pulled out a flame grill and just went, "Ch-ch-ch, Portuguese-zoom!"
Portugazen, the elevated strategy through dining on Portuguese peri-peri chicken at your local Nando's restaurant. Nando's, truly enlightened Portuguese dining.
Yeah, truly. Not making it up.
You're listening to Digital Radio 103, providing diversity and entertainment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Visit us online at www.digital-radio103.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Blurred Line. We are talking to Tim Smith from Pennhurst Paranormal. And when we left, we were talking a little bit about the history. And now I kind of wanted to get some stories from Tim on his experiences there. I was telling him a story about what happened with me when I was there, but I really want to hear his more than I want to hear mine again. So welcome back, Tim.
Good to be back.
What is probably the most, you probably had so many experiences there, but what is probably the scariest or the most exciting thing that's happened to you there?
You know, that's hard to determine. I mean, they all have different buildings and different, you know, I've investigated multiple buildings and had different things that happened to me. I would tell you that honestly, the most interesting or scary thing was probably in Denver, which was really caught me off guard, because I would normally tell you, Mayflower and Quaker are more frightening than that. And, one time when I was in Devon in the bathroom, it was getting actually close to light out. We were there so long, it was like 5:30 in the morning. Some light was actually creeping through, even though it was in the basement. So you could see the people or the outlines of the people next to you, and then everybody had their K2s and whatever. And then, there was a girl next to me that kind of put her K2 meter up against her so you could see the light. And a couple of people did that because they were going like that, and we just wanted to talk and black it out. But it was weird. You know, the K2 really didn't put out that much light, but you would have thought it was a lot of light, because it went like black as ink, like almost like a curtain was going across the room.
Oh.
And I couldn't see anything. And at that time, screaming just rang out. There was probably two guys in the room, and there was four girls, and all the girls started to scream, saying that their hair was being pulled, they were being touched, and things like that, just crazy stuff that just happened all at once.
Wow.
All in like a split second, it seemed like. And it was probably the most interesting or scary thing I've ever been a part of. But then, we've had... things thrown, people scratched. I mean, I've been in Quaker where, somebody was playing these scratches and shine a light on, and there's a scratch right on their arm. And in fact, twice, two different psychics have been scratched in that room or in that place too. And there have been things thrown in basements of Quaker and in Mayflower that are scary from the King, in Mayflower. And so I don't know. I don't know which one I would rank my scariest, but they're all interesting.
They are. And the King, now, we both have referenced the King, but could you explain him a little bit?
Well, it's weird. It's kind of like going to Disney World and having so many rides to choose, and you want to ride them all. when the people came into the facility, it had free reign to some level. They were like, they wasted their time, or they would sit there and they wouldn't take their time investigating the whole building sometimes. If they weren't getting activity, it's like, let's go to a different building,
mm-hmm.
Instead of a different floor. And I think for a long time, the basement of Mayflower was neglected. And, people would say, I never got anything there. Kind of the way I was with Devon. I never got anything there. And eventually we started to creep down there and things started to happen, and there were, we had the resident undead crew out there where, a buddy of mine, Dan Hooven, saw a figure that was pretty large, almost like the one that's like reminiscent of Rolling Hills and stuff like that, the way it's being described.
Yeah.
And another psychic swears that that's what they're seeing too. Or I shouldn't say another psychic, Dan isn't a psychic, but a psychic said that too. We started going down there, and with another group of people, they started saying, I got a picture of what I think he looks like. And then it was like an abuser of sorts. That's the way the feelings started to come out. And we started getting things on recordings that called himself the King, because he was the king of this domain, we were being told. And a lot of times, you know, anybody that will come out and talk to you, like, you know, any other patients or whatever, they shut up real quick when the king comes in, because the king doesn't allow you to talk. So generally it's one voice down there, and it's usually not a nice one.
Yeah. I've experienced him, I think. Well, I wanted to play, you had sent me some EVPs, and I wanted to play those for everyone. The first one that I have is the Go Away in Mayflower. Can you explain what was going on then?
Yeah, that was, you know, I believe that was with you know, the Shore Paranormal Group that helped us out a lot. I want to say that was the second floor. And that was with my brother there. I wasn't actually there for this one. This was one of the first investigations with my brother. And they got it on two different recorders. And I believe in this one, they actually say, did you hear that? But I don't know if that's the one I sent you.
Okay.
I'll listen to it.
Well, I will go. Everybody get your headphones. And I'm going to play this. And I'll play it a couple times. So we'll play it first, and then you can, we'll talk about it. I'm going to play it now.
Did you just listen? Nobody listened?
No, but I heard what you heard.
Go away?
And I don't know what exactly it said, but I did hear a whisper. Did that hold on a second?
I heard it right here. It said, go away.
And I could hear you. I could hear it. I couldn't make out what it said. I could hear it right here.
Okay. So it was relatively close to the beginning of that.
Yeah, and as I said, I think that's we got it on two different recorders, and the two people are talking about hearing it. And that was one of the first investigations that, you know, that I remember being done at Pennhurst.
Well, I'm going to play that one again for everyone, and enjoy.
Did you just listen? Nobody listened?
No, but I heard what you heard.
Go away?
I don't know what exactly it said, but I could hear a whisper. Did that hold on a second?
I heard it right here. It said, go away.
And I could hear you. I could hear it. I couldn't make out what it said. I could hear it right here.
That's pretty cool. All right. Well, the second one we're going to play is second floor. It says Mayflower, second floor, Tim.
Okay.
Now, what was going
on? This was interesting because it was a night where we were broke up into a couple different teams, and I was actually standing in the second floor, which I call like more of a common room that I love because it's got my favorite pieces of graffiti in the Mayflower building. Mm. But and we were standing there, and there was a good friend of mine, Sue, who was kind of leading the investigation at the time. I was kind of hanging back, and then we had a girl with us that basically was almost afraid to talk the whole night. So there was only three of us, and two girls. One, it's impossible for the voice to be hers, and the other one didn't talk the entire night. So, because Sue was asking questions, and she would be talking on top of each other, and it's absolutely a female voice, and it says Tim. And what's interesting about this is just, you know, to sit there and talk about theories on ghosts all night, I guess, it actually says Tim before Sue does. So I find that interesting. Instead of repeating what Sue said, it actually says it before she does. Because, you know, you'll hear it. So.
All right. We'll play that right now.
When Tim was here last time, he heard two gunshots.
Okay, so it was like right kind of, right before she started.
It was right before. There's like a slight whisper right before.
All right, I'm going to play that again. Oops. All right.
When Tim was here last time, He heard two gunshots.
Yeah, you hear that. It's like, Timmy.
Yeah. And it's a female voice. It's hard for me to hear on my phone. I can't know. I don't know how it's coming over on the computers, but, you know, it's something that you got to turn up. But it's clear when I play it to people off my phone. Mm-hmm. You can hear it.
Very cool. Well, the last one that I have is Moe's Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. This has been described to me by some as one of the best EVPs that people have ever heard. Now, I don't know that I believe that, because I don't know for a fact that I can call it an intelligent energy or experience, but I will tell you this, that it was the first day that I had an RTEVP, and we were taking kind of a walk around campus with a buddy of mine, or a couple of buddies of mine, and he was wearing the RTVP, and it was freaking him out, so he had one ear plug in and one out, because he just kept hearing his voice over and over again. So he was going in, and he went into that same area where the common room on the second floor, but he went towards the bathroom, and there's a utility-type closet right next to it,
mm-hmm.
and he literally opened the door, and two big gunshots rang out. Now, mm-hmm. he didn't know that they were gunshots, but if you listen to the recording, I think you'll agree that they're gunshots. And they were so loud, but nobody else heard them except for him, because he had the RTVP, and he actually asked the question, you know, did you hear two loud bangs? And the person literally right next to him, and she goes, no.
Oh.
And you actually hear my brother's voice down the hall, in between him asking that question, and he actually got the same loud bangs on his recorder down the hall.
Oh, wow. Pretty cool.
So we got it on two different recorders. I mean, it's just super loud. I mean, it's mind-blowing. So.
Well, I can't wait to hear it, so I'm going to play it now.
Someone bang on something twice, like really loud,
no.
Like boom, boom.
No. Wow, that's crazy.
It's crazy. You know, the funny thing is, he heard it, and then when he heard it on my brother's recorder, he said, I don't want this recorder anymore. He gave it back. He said, you can have this back. I don't want it anymore. And we have actually tried to piece together some kind of semblance of whether or not there's any historical data of someone being shot there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to take it with a grain of salt, you know, with psychics and EVPs, whether it be with, you know, the Constantinas have been out there and stuff, and we've gotten stuff that there's a big boy Dan that we got as a recording that the Constantinas put in, so that's what it said about the person that was in there that might have gotten shot.
Huh.
Right? And then there was a psychic that felt that somebody had gotten shot, like a very big patient, things had gotten out of control and nobody could control the patient, and that they were called in some form of security because they just couldn't calm the patient down, and that it was almost like an accidental shooting.
Oh.
Now that's, you know, again, there's nothing historical to verify that. I've looked and stuff. I've tried. You know, in my limited time,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe somebody could help me out there. Maybe they could figure it out. But, you know, that's what I'm piecing together through recordings and experiences and psychics. So none of that could be, you know, factual. But,
sure.
You know, that's kind of what we're trying to figure out, because it is so loud and they're definitely gunshots.
Oh, yeah.
And when we've tried to ask people, like, and recordings where we've gotten whispers that say, don't talk about that, or stuff like that. There are things along those lines we've gotten in that room when we ask those questions.
Well, I'm going to play it one more time. And
okay.
All right, here we go.
Someone bang on something twice, like really loud,
no.
Like boom, boom.
No. Well, I just can't get over that. It's almost like you can hear the fragments hitting the ground too.
Yeah, you can hear it. Like I have a person I used to work for, the big time hunter, and we played it for him, and he goes, "Well, you can literally hear the chamber moving."
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could hear it like almost like the hammer going back, and then like an old revolver, like the chamber moving, and you know, it's wild. Now, if you really listen to it, you know, sometimes it's hard to hear it over, like, you know, the radio, but, you know, you hear it with headphones, you literally can hear, like, the chamber moving.
That's crazy. Oh, wow, I have a couple that I wanted to share. I'm very excited.
Okay, cool.
Because it's the first time you're getting to hear them.
I know. This will be awesome.
This first one, we were down in the basement. There was me and three other investigators, two females and a male. We walked, and you'll hear Matt in the say something, because we had walked by in the basement. There's like a clown bag toss thing in the hallway.
There's a bean bag toss in the basement. There's a couple of those around, and there's one in Mayflower and there's one in Quaker.
Yeah, it's creepy because it's clowns and I hate clowns. But we were walking from the room that was soundproofed through the hallway into the room next to the boiler.
Okay.
And Matt says, "Oh, you like clowns? Most pedophiles are clowns." And then you hear this. So I'll play this and tell me what you think.
"Most pedophiles are clowns.
I think I'm going to need to play that again because I had to turn it up."
Okay.
It's really evident when you have your headphones on.
"Most pedophiles are clowns.
Now, were you able to hear that?
I couldn't hear it, to be honest with you. It's very tough because I'm on a cell phone.
Okay, well, I will definitely send that to you. We actually got it on two recorders, a man saying, "Look over here."
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, again, you know, you can't take it as factual information, but we truly believe that the king was, you know, a sexual predator of sorts. Now, you know, certainly that's not a stretch, you know, that, you know, these things did happen. So it's, but whether we're truly in tune with one that's there is in question, and whether it was in the basement they saw it. But I would tell you, based on the recordings we're getting and things like that that people got, that I think that it's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah. Well, this next one that I want to play, we were also in the basement, and there's a couple of us talking, but behind, underneath Diana's voice, I hear someone say, "Get out of here." So I'll go ahead and play that.
"All right, guys, can you see
that?" That one's a little louder, but I'll go ahead and play that one again. Let's see here. It's real quick. I'll send that to you.
I definitely hear something. That one is a little bit better. I hear something.
Yeah.
I just don't know that I can make it out, but it's clear that there's something there.
Yeah. Well, this last... Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. Go on.
Oh, no. I was going to say that the next one is the one I talked to you about over the break, Charlie. So I'll go ahead and play that for you. And it's hard because it was absolute silence before and absolute silence after. We were all just sitting there in silence. So there's nothing to even reference, to give it a reference. Or else it would have been like a minute and a half long. But I'll go ahead and play that again. All right. Well, I'll definitely have to send those to you, so it'll be easier for you to hear. It's hard on a phone.
Well, you know, there's a feeling that the person down there, you know, was possibly meaning started with a C. Somebody came over Clark, and Charlie might be one that that would be close enough, you know, who knows? I mean, that's what the thing is. It's, you know, trying to find the records and trying to piece together what decade you're even talking to down there or upstairs and whatnot, you know, is just amazing, you know, because, you know, trying to look through records of what that building is, you know, when you got, let's say, 1920 to 86, you're talking 60 some years, you know, where you could try to piece together where you're looking. Every worker, you know, or you got to try and figure out the time frame you're talking about to just limit the amount of people you have to look for.
Absolutely. And
who's to say that the person didn't work for just a month?
True. Yeah. And who's to say that it's not somebody just messing? You know, some spirit just having fun.
it's a fascinating place. It never gets old. I mean, it keeps coming back for more. I'm there every month, it seems like, and I learned something new. And you know, some of the people I've been lucky enough to meet, whether, you know, it's just friendships I've made and TV and whatnot, or both, you know, just I found, you know, they have some interesting gadgets. Sometimes you find out things and different techniques. And, you know, I've been exposed to a lot, and I know that the place is legit.
Yeah.
You know, from the standpoint, you know, I understand people will fight you sometimes on whether this stuff is real or not, and you're never going to convince them until they have a personal experience like mine, whispering in the air and being touched on the third floor of Mayflower.
Sure.
But once you get past that, you know, there's just no place I've ever been in that is quite the same. There just isn't.
No, it's haunting. It calls you back, though. I've been, ever since we left there, I was like, oh my gosh, that was just an amazing, amazing experience. And we appreciate that you having us there.
No, that was fun. It's just a great place. And, you know, I wish that everybody could experience it and have fun. Mm-hmm. And you know, hopefully we're gonna be putting it in a position to have that happen for a lot of people, you know. That's my hope anyway. And we just gotta keep you know, going forward and making positive things happen and bringing positive experiences to people that didn't think it was even possible there.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm on a couple of very important projects that are just hopefully going to make people realize that, you know, what our true intentions are there.
Great.
And at least my true intentions are, you know.
Yeah.
You know, things are always, you know, sometimes things get in the way and you know, I can't control everything, you know, but I, you know, I'm a man of my word, and I think things are really going in a positive direction there.
Good. That's great to hear. Now, we're coming up to the end. I just wanted to see if people wanted to find you. How would they find you?
Well, please check us out on Twitter at Pennhurst Para, and Facebook is Pennhurst Paranormal Association. And you can check out our website at www.pennhurstparanormal.com. And then, you know, you can email me at tjsmith@pennhurstparanormal.com too.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Tim, for being on the show tonight. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and everybody else.
No problem. Anytime, you know that, you know, just reach out to me. Hopefully the next time it won't take 3 months or whatever. But I'd be more than happy to come on anytime.
Thank you so much. And everyone, it is that time. Thank you so much for listening to The Blurred Line. We have some great shows coming up, so come back next week, 8 p.m. Eastern. Have a good night.
We thank you for listening. The show which you have just heard is protected by international copyright laws, and all rights are reserved and as such may not be copied, recorded, or re-aired in any form whatsoever without written permission from the station's management. Digital Radio 103 is available in 196 countries, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Visit us online at www.digital-radio103.com. You're listening to Digital Radio 103, providing diversity and entertainment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Visit us online at www.digital-radio103.com.